You know, when God begins to work in us, we just don't comprehend why the tests are so difficult. And yet, there's a purpose and a reason for every test. And as I was reading the Word this morning, there was a little bit of scripture that jumped off the page. So I want to remind you that God never really changes. He just adapts to a different level. He's always the same. And He's a lover of His people. And so I'd like you to come with me to Deuteronomy, chapter 8. But before we go to chapter 8, the very first verse of chapter 7 says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drive out before you the many nations," and it gives you a list of them. See, God doesn't stop working with us, and He doesn't stop letting us be aware that He's with us in every test, in every single situation. Amen? Now, in chapter 8, verse 1, He goes to the next level. He says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised an oath to your forefathers." So in other words, the people that came before Him and them were the praying people doing their work to prepare things for you and me. Verse 2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Very important. See, natural sustenance feeds this natural body. Spiritual words will actually feed your inner man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says you're made up of three parts. Say to your neighbor, you're made up of three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. All parts need nourishment. Now, when you take in God's Word, you're actually not feeding the outer man, you're feeding the inner man. Now, when you realize this, you begin to understand why the Scriptures are important. Because they are called the bread of life. When we go to the table and we receive Holy Communion, we are actually partaking of His flesh, as it came this morning with a braided piece of bread, signifying that it's interwoven and coordinated to bring us life. But you know, it only feeds the natural man. Even though it is a spiritual meal, the next level comes with the Word of God that feeds you even deeper. Now, how many know that when you have children and they start getting older, we test them? Yeah. And we check out to see if they're going to be faithful. And my son is here, so obviously I can tease him a little bit, I hope. But when he was 16... he happened to be quite a chess player in Palmer High School. And during that time, he says to me, "Dad, I have an opportunity to go and compete in Philadelphia." So obviously, I prayed about it, and I heard the Lord say, "Yeah, just give him the new car and let him go." So I did. Gave him the new car, and he was going with some other guys, and they were going to go in Philadelphia. I think it was one overnight, maybe overnight. And, of course, he used to play this little game with us. He was always the loser, but then he'd have the trophy behind his back. And it was no different that particular time, and I believe he won some money that time. Don't know? Well, anyway, memory's short. I'll check my notes. Anyway, to make a long story short, a few years ago, we were discussing some things because he was having some questions about his little girl. And I teased him, of course. It was a perfect opportunity for a father to tease his son. And I said, well, wait. When she asked you for the keys to the new car and go, you know, to Philadelphia for the weekend, how well are you going to do? Dad, don't remind me. And we teased back and forth. But you understand, I was testing him. And you know what? He came home in one piece. And the car was in one piece. That was good. So when he would come back to me, he would get what? The next level of trust from me, as well as he would begin to see that, my God, maybe Dad's not such a bad guy. Because, you know, we always have opinions of fathers. They're usually stingy. They don't want to give you anything. They don't want to do anything for you. Well, I had the same problem with my father, so I know my son had the same problem with me, and his children are going to have the same problems with him. Got it? Okay. What am I telling you this for? Because your heavenly father's not stupid. He's going to test you. He's going to allow things to happen in your life that you won't like. And he's going to watch how you react. If you're shaking your fist at him and you're saying, oh, I'm mad, get over it. It's not the way God works. He wants to be in you and with you through the test. And he wants to bless you bigger and better than the next time. And he can't do it without your cooperation. So instead of responding with anger and resentment, how about responding with, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to give you all the glory. And Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Whoa! I could take that home and take it to the bank. When you have a loss of someone in your life, what do you do? How do you survive? God, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm going to trust you to rebuild me, to reconstruct me, and to make me what I need to be, and give me the ability to be an encouragement to those that have a need. That's what it's all about. Okay, let's go back to the word. Verse 3, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. These are words that come from the mouth of the Lord using my mouth. Verse 4, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Whoa! Those of you who are over 60, 70, you'll notice that sometimes you get a few aches and pains that you don't like. These people had walked around in the desert for 40 years and they didn't have swelling in their feet. Nice, huh? They never got sick. And we went, oh, wait a minute here. What am I doing wrong? Maybe you're not trusting him to the level that he wants you to trust him. And the only way he's going to give you that grace is to ask him. You know, if you don't have from God, it's because you have not asked. And sometimes you ask with the wrong motives. You know why I know that? Because he brought me there this morning. This morning, midnight. Okay? There are times that God will get you up in the middle of the night to make you pray, to make you get closer to him, and to start taking confidence in his abilities to really change you from what you were to what you need to be. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord, your God, disciplines what? Me. Amen. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valley and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, and land where the bread will not be scarce. Did you hear that? You will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron. Cool. And you can dig copper in or out of the hills. Kind of nice, huh? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord, your God, for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees, that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied. Did you hear that? All you have is multiplied. Now, our young friends lost everything. My wife and I also lost everything when we were expecting our first son. And I'll tell you, I wasn't thinking of multiplication at that time. I was just looking at what I had lost. And I was devastated every time I tried to walk past the threshold of that apartment or that house. My entire body would empty itself. And within seconds, I couldn't walk into the place. Just the smell of it would just literally turn my entire being upside down. What am I saying to you? I wasn't thinking of the increase, but I was thankful. I can remember saying to the Lord, thank you for Grandma that did not die in the fire. She was 82 years old. She did not die in that fire. We were able to have her in the hospital. Now, the night before, when she landed at the hospital, the whole family was all upset. Yeah. The entire family was upset because their mother had gone to the hospital. She went into the hospital because she didn't feel good. The ambulance came. They kept her at the hospital. Had she been in that house, she would have not lived. God knew when to pull her out. He knew our hearts to take care of her. Even after we went through the fire, she had so much unbelief. Like, how could it be? And of course, she had no place to come home to. But what I'm saying to you is, God had his hand on us. Their friend went home to be with Jesus. And I don't know the future, or I don't know the past, but I know that even now, when I realized that those were tests that I was going through at that time, I did not comprehend the fullness of how God would increase me. And I know this, that Rich and Paige will have an ability to minister to those who go through fires, because now they're going to have a recovery process that they have learned from experience. Tap your neighbor and say, you've got some experiences. And you can share your heart when it's time to somebody else that's going to go through a test. Got it? That's how God teaches us. That's how he taught me. Amen? Okay. Verse 14. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might be worse for you. I thought it was for worse for you. Doesn't the emotion say, oh, everything is lost and now it's going to go worse? The emotions say worse. The Spirit of God says that it's going to go well now. It's a change of attitude that's needed. It's a change of knowing that God is saying, okay, I humbled you, but now I'm going to build you up. Amen? Verse 17. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirm His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. When my wife and I lost it all, the people in the areas blessed us. They sustained us. They kept us going. And I'll be honest with you, we didn't have any clothes to put on our backs. But God used many different individuals to give us things so that we could keep on going. And you know what? We survived. And now we have an ability to help others because we know what it's like to be without. When my wife watched the news and she says, oh my God, she says, oh, I don't know what to say. She says, you know, that page and the whole situation about, you know, having lived it gives you a different heart. Amen? So look at your neighbor again. Say, having lived it, it gives me a different heart. Amen? Remember verse 18 because it's very, very important. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirm His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. What is the gift of obedience? It is exactly that. It's a gift. It's a choice we make to come to God, and sometimes I don't feel like obeying. How many of you have ever had the emotions, I don't feel like obeying today? Hey, tell them. I just don't feel like it. And you know what? Give me the grace to make it. Give me the grace to go forward. Give me the anointing that I need to be able to help others. And when you help others, guess what? Your eyes come off of yourself. That's what happens. That's the body ministry. That's the body being interwoven together so that you can give to each other so that you can come back to life. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, without the Holy Spirit to make this word alive in their hearts, it's just going to be another bunch of words. But God, by the Holy Ghost, press in this truth into their hearts and give them a victory over every fear tactic that has come into their hearts and give them a victory to be able to help those that have a greater need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.